One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things.
Yes.
We're covering Lost. You know it. You're here. This is episode 14.
Special.
It's just called Special.
Special.
How special is it? You're about to find the fuck out.
It's a whole hot steaming plate of a house special served up for you all to consume today.
Oh boy. Well, we're talking coleslaw. We're talking.
Whoa.
Hot coleslaw?
No, it's cold. That's cold.
Okay.
Cold coleslaw. Cottage cheese.
I had a friend who thought it was cold slaw for like 30 years.
You know, I don't talk
to them anymore.
You know, that's a fair thought.
We broke up.
Mm. We broke up.
You think cold slaw?
It's cold slaw, you think?
Mm.
And planes?
Don't talk to me anymore.
Mm-mm. That's done. So what we're going to do, we're going to chat about Lost. If you've never listened to the show before, Madison and I have never seen the show.
Never.
And Steve has. So that's the shtick of the show. He's revisiting. We're having our minds blown from this early aughts mystery show for the first time. And we're on this journey together as a team. You can email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. You can support the show. We would love it if you did that at patreon.com/streamingthings. And you can subscribe at a variety of tiers that get you a variety of different rewards, including the ability to vote on polls each month for a special Patreon-only movie, access to the Discord community, which is a thriving family of silly geese, as well as the ability to force us to watch your favorite movie or maybe a movie that you know we'll hate for funsies. And we have to talk about it and do a whole episode on it. Later this week is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. That's what's coming up next on that.
So exciting.
Back to talking about Lost. Mm. We watched episode 14. What we're going to do is talk about our overall thoughts about this episode and then do a scene by scene, play by play recap and reaction and cap it all off with four fun little segments. Beach, please.
Beach, please.
The Mile High Club moments where we talk about our three favorite moments of the episode around the room and then our Passenger Princess nominations, our favorite performance of the episode, and then finally our Lost and Found segment where we're keeping track of all the mysteries as they unfold.
So many.
Whether or not they've been solved.
So many mysteries. Mm,
indeed.
So many.
So Madison, lay it on me. What did you think of episode 14? Was it in fact special?
I liked it. I think it's not my favorite. I did like how we finally got to dive into Michael and Walt's story and really learn how fresh their relationship is. I did feel like Walt's character shifted to be a little ominous this episode than previous. I don't know if anyone else felt the same way. And I'm curious to see where they're taking, like what the direction is there. But I did find myself being very captivated by Walt and Michael's story enough to where I didn't really care what was happening in the present. I was really focused on what was happening in like the flashback and stuff like that. I wanted to see more of that. But overall, good episode.
Mm-hmm. Steve, what about you?
I agree with Madison in that I think this is a really good episode. I quite enjoyed it. It's not my favorite, but I really did enjoy it. I think this episode, out of all of them so far, I think it's safe to say the flashbacks in this episode are the most emotionally captivating, I think. Like, it does a very good job of immediately you just feel Michael's pain in the, like, early on. You just feel so bad for the guy. You want to help him out so bad. And they keep going back to his flashback, which is good, because I found myself kind of like, I don't get out of the island. I want to go back to Michael's story about trying to, like, get back together with his kid and the situation he has with his ex, with Susan. I found that story very, very heartwarming, and I enjoyed the flashbacks more so than several other characters' focal episodes. So yeah, I like this episode quite a lot. Kit, what about yourself?
I am torn.
Mm-hmm. Torn, you said.
Because you're right. It did some heavy lifting. I think you guys are aware that Michael is not a character that I've been very kind to. I haven't given him a lot of grace. You know, I know that he's a newer parent, but he's made some pretty obvious errors in his island parenting of Walt.
Questionable choices.
Yeah, and he's kind of annoyed me at times with he's quick to anger and, you know, not able to handle himself in an interesting way from survival skills kind of thing, blah, 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 right? However, and I do stand with women, but I was very angry in this episode at, like, the things that Susan, his son's mother, was doing to him. And I don't know if you're supposed to, like, hate Susan.
Sucks.
Fuck yeah, dude. Like, what is going on right now? You're just, like, not letting him see the kid. Like, if you don't want to be with him anymore, that's understandable. Adults grow apart. Things happen. I understand that romantically. It's complicated.
Yeah.
What?
Just completely isolate the biological father of your son for no reason.
No, none at all. Like, none. He did nothing wrong.
I mean, I understand she's wanting to continue her career.
Sure.
But also, like, it didn't seem like she, I don't know. I'm like, you have a well enough foundation to be like, look, I want to continue my career, but I recognize that you still want to see your son. Like, Michael had no, like, reason to not see
none.
Walt.
We didn't see any of the issues that they had as a couple.
Right.
We skipped right over that. It was just like, oh, we'll go to counseling. So we can assume there were some.
I mean, the only thing I could see is that, you know, I remember in the first flashback, he was kind of talking about her finishing school and then he was going to, like, get a job and work. But I guess, you know, when they fast forward, he did not have a job, or at least that's what they made it sound like.
Yeah.
So construction is slow in the winter.
Yeah. Like, I understand maybe she was like, well, you're not lifting your weight type of thing, but still to take
reason to leave him. Yeah, like, our goals don't align. But yeah, he seemed to be a devoted, attentive father.
Yeah. It was really sad. And honestly.
Yeah. Susan, it really pissed me off.
Susan is a big.
And not just that. Like, she comes back and she's like, Brian's going to adopt him. Like, no, that's my kid, dude. Like, you can raise him. Like, yeah, I know you're getting married. I support you. Just seemed weird.
And we find out that Brian didn't want to really do that. He's only doing that for her.
Brian.
This is the second episode in a row where we get another male love interest named Brian.
Brian.
Is it really?
Yeah, because the dude that Shannon was with last episode was named Brian.
Oh, no. What if it's the same?
It's the same guy.
He's like, oh, he might.
Oh, I might. I'm going to hook up with this Sheila over here.
I had you, baby, but the dingo ate it. I also hate, I think, that Walt is, like, telepathic or something. What the fuck is going on?
That was a little bizarre to me. Yeah. I just was kind of like, you're leaning into this now, whereas I feel like you find multiple opportunities to kind of lean into this previously.
Yeah. Well, this is.
Is it the first time we're only seeing him leaning into it?
Well, I think what Madison's saying is, like, it would have been better if at some point in the first 13 episodes, he did us something that, like, made us raise our eyebrows and then we forgot about it. And now they're bringing it back. And the reason they didn't is because they just now thought of this. And this is old school TV. It didn't occur to them that he had telepathic powers until episode 14. Mm-hmm. Somebody in the writer's room was like, hey, what if? Hear me out. It's Tyler. I don't know why.
It's always Tyler.
Always Tyler.
What if? Okay, there's no babes anymore, right? So what if?
What if we get the little kid, but he has, like, mind powers? No one's ever done a creepy little kid before. It's 2004.
Have you guys read this Harry Potter stuff? I'm on the third book because it's 2004.
Is Walt the boy who lived?
And
does Walt see dead people?
Like, it's like there's too many, it's too many mysteries. And like, if this keeps happening, and it's totally going to, it might,
it might
annoy me. I'm in danger of being annoyed at this point. I don't need him to have powers.
Like, the only thing that I could maybe see is like a foreshadowing of this is Locke's interest in Walt, because Locke does have this like,
Professor Slughorn of the island.
Yeah, I wouldn't
collecting
say.
All the sister fucker. I need the magic boy.
That was a good pull. Well done. I don't know.
That's just in his mind how he categorizes everyone. I need the magic boy. I got the sister fucker.
That's awesome.
Who's next?
He's building his team.
Who's joining Locke's menagerie? All right.
Whenever I get bored, I just talk to him. It's wild, bro.
But it was just very like, oh, we're shifting that energy onto him. Like, it was just very interesting for it to happen. And I felt like it was very abrupt. There was not much of a lean, like a steady incline into it. It was just like, here it is. This is happening. And especially the scene with where the mom is like sick, is like starting
and the bird
to
hits the window. Yeah. And it's all being revealed at the same time.
Yeah,
we already knew she was dead, but.
Yeah. But it like part of me was like, is she getting sick because of him? Like, that's kind of how it was playing at first. Like, he was getting upset that like, Brian wasn't paying attention to him.
Yes.
And then the mom was like getting ill, and then the bird happened. I don't know. It was just, anyway, I feel like we could go on and on about it, but that was like the only jarring thing.
But it's complicated.
This episode.
So, but wasn't, and I could be wrong about this, but wasn't the episode when the polar bear first arrived also the first time we saw Walt reading the polar bear comic book? He's read that comic book before.
I feel like Steve is planting something here.
I forgot the polar bear was in the comic book, to be honest with you. To be
I
frank.
Did as well.
Well, that was also like a year ago when we reviewed that episode.
Yeah, that's true. I guess bear. So. And maybe it came out this time because he was angry at his dad for burning the I don't know. There's some stuff there, but I just don't know. I personally need it. I'll say all that to say this episode was complicated for me. I was getting pulled in a lot of directions. Like, I was really eye-rolly at the telepathic Walt stuff. I was very angry at Susan as a character. I just don't think it's necessary that she was such a piece of shit. I think there's plenty of like complicated adult reasons why they split up and he didn't see Walt. You know, I think they bent over backwards to make Michael more sympathetic, and that worked. But like, I didn't want to hate his mother so much in order to do that, I guess. But also, like, I cried and stuff during this episode. So it's like, I feel very complicated about it. Like, I kind of hated this episode, but I was also crying. Mm-hmm. Like the Michael flashback stuff hit me very hard,
well,
you know?
And two, because, you know, it's like Susan really, I mean, Michael, yes, wanted to see Walt, and then, you know, Susan dying, and then Brian being like, you know, he doesn't want to have the kid. It's just very sad to see Walt become this unwanted child. Like, I don't know, it just it's really sad.
Yes. And we'll get there, but there's it bothered me. But anyway, that's this episode. It's a real mixed bag for me personally. You guys ready to dive in?
Let's do it.
Okay,
speaking of eyes, eye rolls.
Eyeball shot.
Eyeball.
And it opens with Michael looking for Walt, who's lost, lol. And Charlie is looking for Claire's bags, and Hurley wants to start another golf tournament for the last of the deodorant sticks. So that's our trifecta of opening there.
This is an example of, I think the writing isn't as strong in certain parts of this episode as it is in others. Specifically, like Charlie walking up, like Michael's like, Walt, hey, have you seen my son? And Charlie's like, yeah, no, man, I'm looking for a bag. It's like square and round. And then he finally says, no, man, I'm looking for my son. I don't care about the bag. He's like, oh, man. Oh, wow. Well, sorry. It was just an incredibly awkward exchange.
I guess they were trying to show how like one track minded Charlie is about Claire. And it, you know, but it was a little comical that he kept ignoring him and was like, yeah, Claire's bags. Exactly. And he's like, no, my son, you know.
Right.
I did
love that Hurley was like, man, he seems to hate being a dad. And Jack's like, nah, he doesn't. And then there's that long pause and Hurley just goes, nah, he hates it.
Very accurate. But that actually started off the episode on a bad foot for me, because like, It's a point of annoyance for me that when people that don't have children are super judgy of people's parenting skills. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Hurley, love the guy, hilarious, objectively would be a terrible father.
Why do you say that?
I just,
you don't think Hurley couldn't have love in his heart?
Super selfish.
Is he?
Yes.
Well, I mean, Hurley's
at every point, he's younger... like, look, man, I'm really hungry, man. I can't catch food, man. You need to get me food, man. Do we?
I feel like he would be compassionate, but I feel like he's still young. He's still a young guy.
He would need a strong woman in his life.
Or he would need to mature
for that child.
A lot. He's just immature.
He could grow. Exactly. But I'm just saying, like, it's a thing where people without kids are like, I would do that way different, dude. And it's like, you have no idea the hell that that brings into your life and how hard it is to cope. It was just an offhand comment, but I like that Jack was like, oh, I think it's just hard.
Did Hurley come to your house and like, yo, dude, the way you're raising your kids, brother. Oh, man.
I just see a lot
of
people.
Can you get me bore?
Without children online talking about how kids should be raised, you know, ranting about like, why do they have an iPad in the restaurant? You know, it's so lazy and stupid. Like, do you have no idea how badly you need 20 minutes to eat that meal?
Yeah. Just trying to get through the day.
And like, Arya doesn't have an iPad or anything. And like, Carissa's really against it. But if she gave Arya an iPad, I wouldn't like yell at her. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Anyway.
They get iPads in school.
Hurley, mind your fucking business. That's all I'm saying. Back in the past, Michael's out crib shopping with Susan. And he's, you know, we were talking about it earlier. She's in law school.
This is my baby's crib. And he points to what is clearly a king's litter.
She's like, this is 3 months rent. So we find out something we maybe already knew, but I've forgotten that he's like an aspiring artist. He's wanting to give that up to focus on construction so they can bring, you know, put some food on the table and help support her while she's going through law school.
And this is an immediate sign, I think, from the creators that Michael's a good dude, because you remember Claire's ex-boyfriend who got her pregnant was like, don't worry, babe. I got my art. I'm an artist. Oh, my art will carry us.
Juxtaposed.
Whereas Michael's like, hey, I'm going to give up my art and get a job that pays. And I can get back to art later when the finances work out. And he's like all in. He's willing to sacrifice to help this baby. And that's like them telegraphing like he actually cares.
And she's like, actually, I'm going to use you as a glorified babysitter. And as soon as I graduate law school, I'm going to leave you for a rich dude named Brian who actually hates my kid. Fuck you.
And go to Australia.
Go to Amsterdam.
You're going to stay in the same badass hipster apartment for apparently 11 years.
His apartment has to have such high rent.
It does.
In New York City?
I know. And he's been in the hospital for months.
Right.
It's TV stuff for sure. Like, that's a $3,000 a month apartment. And he's like, oh, I'm just trying to make ends meet. Nah, you need to be in Jersey City.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Snooki.
Right.
Yeah.
But Walt's named after Michael's dad.
He is.
And we get the first sort of like hint that maybe Susan's not really committed to this, because she's like, oh, we're going to name him Walt Lloyd, which is her last name.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, so you're not going to marry me? And she's like, well, if we're going to name him Walt, he has to have a good last name like Lloyd.
Yeah. Well, he already knew she wasn't interested in marriage, but now he's like kind of raising his eyebrows. Like, you not want any kind of signs of commitment whatsoever.
Yeah.
Red flag. Not that you have to be into marriage, but in this situation, she's just putting up all the signs. She's not in it for the long haul.
That's true.
Old Michael, my son's mother, you know, we were engaged for 5 years. She'd never spent 1 second planning a wedding, never talked about it. Never occurred to me. You know what I mean? All the signs were there, you know, but I was like, no big deal. Yeah. Whatever. It's fine now. So back in the present, Walt is out throwing knives like you do with Locke and Boone. And
what is Boone's T-shirt? I love
what it say.
Boone looks like he's a Def Leppard bassist in the background, because he's got like somehow they've put it looks like he's got eyeshadow and like a black and red shirt with like the Ace of Spades, like splayed across
the Ace of Spades.
Yeah.
Motorhead. And his like sleeves are cut off. It just looks like
the guy in the mosh pit that you don't want to be near.
Right. We're finna be out of the pit when he's in there.
Here comes this guy.
Like, what are they doing with the character of Boone? That's another thing that bothered me about this episode. He's just like Walt's little twink dog. Jesus. Locke's.
Not Walt's.
Yeah. No. He's like Locke's little twink guard dog now.
Literally when.
Pretty boy fall down.
When Michael comes and like yells at Locke. Yeah. Because, you know, he's giving his son a knife and teaching him how to throw knives. Whatever.
That's fair. Like, yeah, why does my son have a giant knife?
Yeah, he's only 10 years old. Like, I understand Michael's position. And then when Boone tackles him to defend Locke, I've been listening to Depeche Mode recently. And I don't know why, but like, master and servant. Like, that song came out of my brain. And I just was like, oh my gosh, that's kinky. It was just weird.
It gives weird vibes, but it's more funny that like Boone gets his ass beat immediately as well. Yeah. Like he's an ineffective guard dog.
Right.
I love it.
He's like those little dogs that are like raw, raw, raw,
raw, raw, raw, raw. My dogs.
Yeah. They can't actually do anything. Like that's Boone.
But I mean, I understand why Boone tackles him because Michael does get the knife and he's mad and he's flinging around.
Always the voice of reason. Like even in like high tense situations, he's like, well, I mean, you were waving a knife around, man. He was just trying to stop you from accidentally hurting somebody, you know? But it's just so funny to me because the way that Ian Somerhalder is playing it, he's like, not my Lockie.
Let me off the leash. I want to fuck
not
Lock
my,
now.
Not nobody, my Lockie.
Nobody touch my Lockie. Walt, do you got a sister? He's just a weird character at this point. But yeah, then Locke hits Michael with the tough love. Like, you know, hey, doesn't even know you, man. You know, you're a new father. I get it. And he's hitting all the tough spots. That's why Michael is so furious with Locke, because Locke has Walt's respect. Mm-hmm. And that's what he wants. And he's just mad instead of like seeing that he could be learning from this guy and how to interact with his son. So I understand. It's just an unfortunate circumstance all around.
Yeah, Locke says he treats him like an adult. You treat him like a child. And he's different, but you just need to spend time with him to realize that. And he's like, I spent time with my kid, motherfucker.
I've been with him for like 2 weeks.
We've been trapped on a beach.
Back in the past, Michael's wife is heading to Amsterdam. She's leaving Michael, who
has a huge job opportunity.
She's already made the decision. And Michael's like, and I just don't understand. Like, she just doesn't want to be with him. Right. And that's what he's not getting. Cause like, he could just go to Amsterdam, you know, all these options that are not even on the table. She's like, I just need space. I need time. I need to literally be in the whole other fucking side of the country. And she tells him, I'm the mother. I'm steadily employed. Which is true. He wouldn't win in court for full custody.
Yeah.
But it is not true that he would get some custody. Like, I mean, he has rights to that kid.
Yeah, he could definitely have gone in there and they would have made some custody.
Visitation
agreement.
Rights of some kind.
Yeah, something like that.
I think she just lawyered him.
She did.
She's a lawyer. She's like, does the witness have records of their financial capabilities to raise this child? Methinks you would be a terrible parent. Just saying.
You're poor.
But can we just talk?
But she's an international lawyer. Never mind.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, whatever. They don't cross.
What even that means? What does that even?
I'm not familiar with
international court is there? Like, where do you preside? Like when there's international waters, like she just lives in the ocean. There's a court on a buoy.
She shows up like, finally.
Yeah.
I got one.
Her office is in the air.
Yeah.
So she's like not jaded by anywhere that she's at.
I still know.
Can we talk about how adorable that baby Walt is?
Very cute.
Oh,
super
my
cute
God.
Baby.
Very cute.
God, like,
not as cute as my baby, but it's up there.
Oh, well.
Not as cute as my cat.
Sure.
Cute.
Sure, but that little baby had little baby overalls and little baby chubby cheeks.
That's true.
Pinch them little baby chubby cheeks in those little baby overalls.
Speaking of cats, though, do you want to know how cute my daughter is? She thinks that cats say no. When they meow. So whenever my cats walk by, she goes, no.
Oh,
no.
That's so cute.
I keep trying to teach her a meow and she's like, no.
Cats do say no.
It fits their personality.
They said no as they're knocking shit off. No.
No.
What if Ari is really just being like, no. No, thank you.
She loves kitty cats.
Bring the dogs back.
Cat. So cute. Very cute baby and not allowed to see Michael anymore because he's not a lawyer. Back in the present, Sun, interesting character interaction, comes to check on Michael. And again, he's one of the few people that knows that she speaks English. So she straight up just, are you okay?
She's speaking a little loud, if you know what I mean. I'm like, girl, you're not doing a good job of hiding.
Yeah. Do you think she's going to cheat on Jen with Michael?
I don't know.
Do you think there's any romantic tension there? Or am I just...
I've definitely sensed there's tension, but I feel like Sun and Jen are too loyal to each other. I don't know. We haven't really explored much of their relationship as of recent. Because at the beginning of season one, I thought, oh, yeah, like she's definitely going to mess around with Michael. But now I feel like that hasn't been the vibe.
Hmm.
You think differently.
Well, there's things that I want, you know?
I mean, I think it would be.
I just want tea.
I think it would be spicy.
Yeah,
if they did. But at this very moment, I don't foresee it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see. I'm not picking up on the signs.
I think so. I think it'll be
Do
some
you
tea.
Think Michael will have an affair with Jin? That would be the ultimate twist.
That would be tea.
I want
Jin's like, hey, let's go fishing. I winked for the audio listeners.
Boone and Locke are never coming back with boar. Michael and Jen are never coming back with fish. What is going? Jack's just like, is everybody just fucking when they go out?
Kate, sorry you left again. Don't know how to feel about this.
Now Hurley. It's Kate and Charlie.
Hurley, I need a cuddle buddy.
Connor's back. She's pregnant again. What's going
Claire,
on?
What are you doing?
I'm just trying to build infrastructure. Damn it.
While you were gone, I built a roundabout.
Better flow of traffic.
From the cave to the beach.
So, yeah. And Michael's like, look, I can't let him grow up in this place. You know, so there's a touching moment between him and son. We cut to Saeed explaining that it's a map of the island, he thinks. And he's trying to figure out the French woman's coordinates still. He and Shannon have been working on the fish song lyrics.
It seems to be like converging on some sort of triangular position on the map, but they don't know exactly where it is.
Like a Bermuda kind of thing.
Maybe. Sort of, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We don't know. And so.
Did they mention the Black Rock or is that later in the episode?
Not yet. Oh, okay. Yeah. But this is when Michael kind of storms in like, what are you all doing?
He's looking at papers.
We could be building a boat to get out of here.
Yeah. Easy peasy. And Saeed points out some very logical objections to a raft. Like, hey, what if we don't make it to a shipping lane? What if we, I don't know, get eaten by a shark or drown, which is very likely. You're trying to go full Castaway. We're just not there yet.
I love how Shannon's contribution is. I get seasick. That's right. Then don't come.
That's it's on valid, brand. Valid
we're not
point.
Building a raft for all 40 people.
Yeah, but it's going to like suck the whole time.
Like, how are we going to survive out there?
Is my brother coming?
Are drinks going to be comped?
Yeah.
Is it all inclusive?
Yeah. Like,
I need to know.
What's the pool situation?
How do we feel about tops?
Yeah. Are we going? Are we wearing them?
No tops.
There's a shortage of tops.
And then he says he's going to leave without them then. Fine. I'll build my own raft. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Go home.
We cut back to Walt reading those DC comics. I think it's The Flash that he found in Spanish. He's trying to teach himself some Spanish. And then Michael almost bonds with Walt, you know, because he's like, he likes art. He likes to draw. He has a lot of things that Walt would respect in his brain, but he gives up immediately as soon as the kid's not paying attention, snatches the comic away from him. He's like, no, just come help me. So it's so close. So
this
frustrating to watch.
Bugged the shit out of me because the dust particles in this scene were so like prominent.
Oh yeah. It was a lot.
And
very
I just
dusty.
Was like, guys, come on. Like, I understand you're filming in these conditions, but
was it
put
dusty?
Some tarps down.
Was it dusty?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like big on the dusties. Lens?
Not on the and lens, but just like in the air.
In the air. It was just see. Dust.
It was probably Hurley's dandruff. That's my headcanon.
Because he has the most hair?
He's just off camera.
Just
shaking
it
his
out.
Head.
I'm still annoyed with Hurley in this episode.
Doesn't he only say the one thing?
He hasn't done anything of value ever.
And what do you mean? Really, he put together the census.
He's really sassy.
He cracked the Ethan code.
He's very sassy for a guy who's
he knows has a lot of opinions.
He's
he
mooching
knows how
a
to,
lot.
He knows how to get through to Sawyer, the best out of everybody.
They need a Hurley backstory episode stat so I can get some sympathy again.
Oh, it's coming.
Okay, good.
It's a good one.
I bet he runs a Blockbuster. That's my prediction.
Yeah, well, you'll find out.
Like a high fidelity type situation.
Sorry. It's a family video.
Rob's video. And then back in the past.
Back in time.
Thank you, Steve. I was giving you a window that time. She won't let Michael talk to Walt even.
What?
She's on the phone. He's like at a payphone.
She's like,
those?
Listen, he's just a dumb 21-month-old baby. He don't know words.
Like, I know he doesn't speak. I just want him to hear my voice. And she's like, ah, I'm busy. I'm gonna go suck Brian's dick. And he's like, who's Brian?
This is some shitty.
It's wild,
it's
isn't it?
So
like you didn't
bad.
Have to go this hard against Susan.
Yeah.
So there's a Susan dude there. Sucks. And then he hangs up and gets hit by a fucking car. He's so angry. I'm coming to get my son.
I do want to say, like, I just want to be devil's advocate because I'm on your guys' side with us. But just to play devil's advocate, the scene opens up with Michael at a payphone saying, put Walt on the phone, right? That's where it kind of picks up. So can you imagine, like, am I to believe that Michael just randomly called her from a payphone on the street he was walking on and was just like, hey, let me see my son. And she's like, listen, man, I'm busy. I'm not around.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, but I think at that point in time, it has probably been a reoccurring thing.
If she had been more communicative and set up visitation schedules, and then he wouldn't be like randomly upset, like desperate to talk to him like that, you know?
I don't know. So I'm working as a paralegal right now, and we deal with domestic law. So like a lot of my job is like reviewing pleadings and like custody agreements and stuff like that. And so like to me, this was so frustrating because I'm like, there's a clear answer to this. And it was just logistically frustrating that she was like being so, excuse my language, cunty. And it really annoyed me because I just am like, and a lot of my job too is like seeing deadbeat dads, like having absolutely no interest in their kids. And it's usually the mom that's like trying to encourage them. And here you have a father that is very wanting to, I'm going on a rant now, but like you clearly have dad that is wanting to be a part of his kid's life. And you just are restricting him of it. And that doesn't make any fucking sense to me, especially when, at least at this point, the audience is aware that Michael has shown major interest in wanting to help raise Walt. Yeah. And so, Susan, you suck.
She does.
You suck.
She's treating him like he just got out of prison. And you know what I mean? And like, it's a bad influence of some kind to be around her kid. And he's like, just like a super nice guy who's been really excited to be a father.
Brian, listen, this is Michael, the father of Walt. We don't want to talk to him anymore. Why, honey? Oh, he's an artist.
Ooh.
Ooh, say no more.
Sounds like a Democrat.
I'll adopt him.
Ooh. It's terrible. Hit by the car. Back in the present. Go ahead.
Oh, I felt so bad about him getting hit by a car.
Ugh. That came out of nowhere.
Yeah, did that surprise you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was just like, look awesome. Before you walk across the street.
Oh, he's so upset. He's in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, mad.
Don't just walk in the middle of the fucking street and not expect to get hit.
He forgot to yell, I'm walking here.
I'm walking here.
That's the way you do it in New York.
There like an 80-yard woman who just went, did that man just get hit by a car? Question mark.
Oh, like 80 yard? I didn't hear that.
Call the police.
That's what if it was in Australia. Back in the present, Charlie tells Kate that someone took Claire's diary, which is kind of weird. He knew where Charlie's again. Nothing in this episode. I'll be honest. Nothing in this episode's working 100% for me. Right.
Yeah.
Like I get Charlie loves Claire, but it's like, dude, chill a little bit. Like, why do you know where her diary is? My guy, you know,
He got out of Rose's eyesight and all of a sudden he's
and Kate's like, oh,
falling down the rabbit hole.
Okay. Yeah. And she's very helpful. Always happy to see Kate. So she's saving the episode for me for a little bit. And then we cut back to Michael and Walt. They're looking for Raph stuff. He's helping, you know, he's got Walt helping him do the work, separate the framework potential stuff from the seats that are going to be used for flotation devices.
Am I being punished?
Yes. It feels like a punishment. I like their interaction there. Kate and Charlie go to Sawyer for the diary. Whenever anything goes missing, he immediately look to Sawyer, who does in fact have it on brand for him.
I wrote my notes.
No goddamn
are we
sense.
Doing this again?
We are. And the sound effects to Sawyer's punch. I hated it. Charlie hits him and then.
But like he hits him in the arm. He hits him in the arm. Yeah. And I just was like, that's funny.
Charlie's like, I got you.
and then.
It's like an old Kung Fu movie when they fight.
Sawyer punches him in the face and then Charlie's like.
You hit like a ponce.
You hit like a ponce.
What's a ponce? Is a ponce? Let me see. I'm going to Google it.
Google a ponce.
We got a lot of British folk in the Discord. They'll tell me later. But
as much as annoying as it is that Sawyer's like the one, like, I got the thing and I'm being hard to get.
He's like the keeper of trinkets and it really is annoying.
He's like Templeton from Charlotte's Web. And he's just always like gathering stuff. What is a ponce?
A ponce, a derogatory, informal, a pretentious, affected, or effete man. Or informal, British, a man who lives off a prostitute's earnings. It's so specific.
He's a sugar baby.
There's a stretch there, but I can see it.
Not a male prostitute or a pimp.
Mm.
I don't think.
In betweener.
But literally, like, yeah, she's out doing the hard work. And you're just laying around playing Xbox.
Yeah, like a ponce.
Just comes home.
I'm
going to
bring that word
out.
Back.
Apparently those they guys
might be
don't hit well.
All the rage at this moment.
It might be.
Great Britain, yeah. That's what makes it
like
great.
Ponce.
Make Britain great again.
Ponce.
But yeah, good literature is scarce around the island. That's why Sawyer claims to have took it, and he didn't actually read it, but he was provoking Charlie by saying, like, dear diary, Charlie's following me around. He's a real Ponce.
Yeah, the failed pop star is freaking me out.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. I don't know if that makes me a bully or what, but maybe I was just mood I was in watching this episode even at this point.
The situation is kind of eye-rolling because it's like, again, Sawyer is really good at coming up with these little sly little quips and japes at people. There is fun to be had there.
There is fun to be had. That's all I'm saying. Walt sees Locke and Boone walk by. And so he lies to his dad about getting some water and goes to meet up with them. Shannon.
Michael's, thank you, please and thank you. And he's like kind of talking to himself like, oh, we got to talk about the please and thank you thing. As a parent, I should memory hole that. I needed to talk to Walt about the please and thank you thing. That's what parents do. Please and thank you.
He needs a major overhaul there. Shannon confronts Boone about the lack of food. Like, are you seriously not going to get any food? Seriously, though? Like, it's been a while.
Seriously.
And he's a super dick. I understand he's trying to get over his whole sister thing. This scene
pissed me off.
He mocks her bulimia.
Yeah.
And walks off. And
then says, I know you have always wanted to drop a few sizes.
Right.
That's rude.
Like.
That's mean.
It's not somebody who. That is not the behavior of somebody who is growing up and like has gotten over an attachment that they like. That's
he's definitely
very much
a grudge.
Still exactly like you're trying to hurt somebody. You're still not over it at all. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if the writers are intentionally going for the fact that he's not over it at all, or if they're just
I don't know
early aughts misrepresenting
Boone is being a pussy ass bitch.
And this is the point where I was like, what are they doing with this character? Like, it's not like a good thing. He's not like enlightened spending time with Locke. He's becoming a terrible person.
It's been a couple days.
It'll take time.
He's still in his breakup phase.
He's still coming down from the head goop.
Tonight will be the night that I will fall for you. He's gonna like slowly grow an emo swoop. He's gonna start doing the like fate thing on his fingers that Charlie does.
He's gonna start singing Charlie's band's music.
Yeah, Drive Shaft.
We all love everybody.
Yeah, Boone is like, we all, everybody, I get it. We also find out in this scene that Shannon is starting to warm to the idea of the raft, but Boone says he's not going to help her build it. So Locke tells Walt that he needs to respect his father. They can't hang out anymore. And then Michael storms up, misreads the situation completely and starts, I'll fucking kill you, which is wild.
Do I need to teach you a lesson, old man?
Yeah. I just like how in all of like the present, Michael is just like constantly like, what the fuck? Like just yelling at Walt, like in every scene.
Yeah, it's uncomfy.
Ew, yeah.
And then
he like
walks. I was giving him a pencil.
It was a peace offering.
Yeah.
So you can help draw your raft. And then he just, after he's like, I'm giving you a pencil as a peace offering, Michael gets up to him and goes, I'll fucking kill you.
And then like,
this isn't even a number two pencil, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's not the, what's
I'm
the
a charcoal guy.
What's the T one? Taekwondo.
It's not a Ticonderoga.
Ticonderoga. Why did I say Taiwan?
They're probably made in Taiwan.
Ticonderoga is a type of pencil that I'm unaware of.
Ticonderoga, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
It's don't.
Yes, you do.
I'm not a pencil connoisseur like
it's
you.
It's like, it has like the bright pink eraser with the green metal thing at the end.
Is it the kind where when you run out of lead, you take it out and push it in the back
it's
and
the
a new
best,
one comes
it's
out?
It's the best one to sharpen. Everyone who's listening knows what I'm talking about.
Ticonderoga.
Yeah, it's the yellow pencil and it has like a green font.
Full disclosure, I was very poor.
Oh, these are the poor kid pencils.
These are the poor kid pencils.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
and what was great about those is like
they're the best of anything. They're not for poor people.
They would be the like the small ones, like the normal pencils. But then they had the thick ones, the thickies.
The thick boys.
The thickies.
Oh, where you had to change the aperture on the sharpener?
No.
The thick one?
Yes.
Like, oh man, I need to crank this.
Do you remember those? They're always like screwdrivered into a door frame.
And you had to crank it.
Oh yeah.
But no, those were the best to sharpen.
When
the other
ones.
You got
bored in class, you just pretend to be sharpening your pencil so you could like.
For 10 minutes.
The number two pencils were always shit to sharpen, but those were the best ones. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is I know I've brought this up before.
You have
this pencil before.
I think that was a episode that Erica was on because Erica knew right away because I couldn't think about what they were and Erica's like, oh, Ticonderoga.
Ticonderoga, yeah.
You guys are pencil nerds.
I have 12 of them in my pocket here.
You're pushing too many pencils.
I like typefaces. Leave me alone.
So Locke.
But what's funny is Michael didn't say this to Locke like in secret. Like because after he says that, it pans to Jack. It pans.
Jack's like, oh man.
It pans to somebody else.
I don't have time for this right now.
And I'm just like, you didn't say that very quietly, Michael.
This is awkward.
Well, he's not going to stop him because like you know, as a doctor, he needs business.
That's true. Nobody's been hurt in a while. I got all these pills, baby.
That's true.
And then Walt hits him with the, you're not my father. Oh.
You're not my dad.
You're not my real dad.
You're not my dad.
And then Michael, out of anger, burns his comic book.
Yeah, that
really
was,
petty.
That was a really bad.
Really petty move. Look, I know we're stranded on an island, probably going to die. This is the only thing you have that's like remotely childish to do. Not anymore.
I got to say, I mean, that is a very harsh thing for a parent to do. Walt will remember that and will make that. We'll make Michael cry for the remainder of his life just by simply bringing up the word comic books.
So Walt,
I know.
So Walt is going to throw Michael into a fire and say, remember when you burned my comic book?
Dracarys.
No, there was an incident when I was a little kid. I think my mom wanted me to clean my room or something. And I like didn't do it quick enough, like as quick as she wanted me to. And I had all these like Lego Star Wars sets I had built and like on display in my room. Mm-hmm. And she just like went one by one and like shoved them off the shelf, and they all broke, and I didn't have the directions anymore. I don't think she knew that at the time, but like, oh. I, you know, it was a very devastating moment for me, and I was like real upset, and I was crying, and I cleaned the room. And to this day, I'll like bring, hey, you remember when you broke all those Legos? And my mom will start weeping because she like feels so much guilt about that moment.
Yeah.
So Walt, use this. I'm just saying.
Use this as power. Ammo.
That's how I got my college paid for. Right. It works, baby. No, I really thought it was setting up for a cool moment, though, where he would like draw a comic book for Walt at some point.
He kind of did.
They kind of already did that, though, in a way, you know, with the postcards things. But I thought it would be neat if he was like, hey, it's like an apology. I'd do this for you.
For a second, thought he was going to like reach in and grab it and like try and save it, because Walt walks away and then Michael is like looking at the comic.
Clearly has a quick regret. Yeah.
But I like how the scene focuses on the polar bear, mm-hmm. the comic polar Rawr. Bear.
Rawr. That's what, don't do that.
Rawr.
Stop.
Rawr.
Stop.
I wish Michael would have like thrown it in the fire and just been like, Flash sucks.
Yeah.
Watch, read Batman, dummy.
Flash is mid. Green Lantern's okay. When he started talking about arguing about power levels and stuff, it's not even S tier. It's not even S tier, son.
This isn't even Barry Allen Flash.
Release the Snyder Cut and just runs off.
I know you don't know what that means, but
yeah, you will
watch it.
You will. This episode was sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, it's 2024. What does everybody do in the new year? They make resolutions. They set goals. How about we don't do that? I mean, you can. It's obviously nice to have goals, but it's also a good exercise to focus on things that you like about yourself. You know, not making all those high pressure goals that you might fail at and just feel worse. You can set smaller goals. And I think therapy can be a good way to access things that you enjoy about your life and focusing on the positive, the gratitude. And BetterHelp is a good way to do that. If you've never given BetterHelp a try, it's therapy that's entirely online. You can do it all from your home and access a therapist by filling out a questionnaire. And if you end up not liking that therapist, you can switch. Again, along with the theme of this ad, no pressure whatsoever. They're not going to have their feelings hurt by it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ho,
ho, ho, happy holidays and happy streaming, everybody. This month, we want to give a special shout out to all of our patrons who keep the lights on at Streaming Things, but we especially want to give a special shout out to the super patrons. They are Kaylee Sampson, San Valentino, Anthony Corona, Infamous, Brent Stradamus, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Optimus, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Little Tickler, Svento7, Jace Gramo, Haley Anderson, A.K. Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Joey Stewart, Jason Hawkins, Big Butthorn, Conrad, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Linda Eklund, Emmy, Joe Velez, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jadinklage Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Orion Moore, Ashley Powers, Stephen V, Casey McCain, and of course, Enza. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. And with that, let's get back to it.
Back in the past, Michael's now in the hospital. He's been there for a couple months. We find out soon. He's got at least a broken leg still.
He's got something going on with his arm.
Yeah,
Walt's got a year too of therapy ahead of him.
And I hate the scene where the nurse comes up. She's like, mother of four, hit him with the penguin joke. The kid's fucking two.
Oh, the penguin joke will slay with a two-year-old.
He's not going to understand any of the context.
You just say it in a funny voice. He might slay.
He'll know what he'll know what a penguin is. That's about it.
Yeah, and he'll laugh. Those things walk funny.
And then Susan shows up in the most hilarious way.
I thought it was like,
hello, Michael.
A hallucination.
Yeah, because the way she's like, hello, Michael.
She's also in the corner, just like,
and then wow. A saxophone comes on and she starts taking off her suit.
She almost did a Job from Arrested Development. Hello, Michael.
It's wild. But I don't know why she went full Agent Smith. It just appeared in the corner. This Mr. Anderson.
And then she starts wheeling him around the hospital. And for a second, because she was like telling him all of these, like, awful things for Michael to hear, like, I'm getting married to Brian.
Brian
is adopting Walt. For a second, I thought she was like, and I'm going to kill you. And like, just wheels him off an edge.
Yeah, it's like the tone of this. I'm going to pay for all your medical bills.
Good news and bad news.
Yeah.
Good news first. I'm paying for all your medical bills. Bad news. Everything Madison said, plus Brian is a big D.
Yeah. It's huge.
It's huge. Also, huge. You can't run away from me. So I'm also going to like steal your wallet just for the lols.
Well, I was like, I thought she was going to like lean more into, I'm paying for your medical bills as leverage for you to not see Walt.
Which I'm sure that's implied.
That
yeah.
was like, yeah.
Basically it is. Yeah.
The underlying
yeah.
meaning.
My notes are, what the fuck, lady?
Like, she sucks.
He can't work construction. For like, that's his main job, and he can't do that while he's doing physical therapy for this leg. Mm-hmm. He really has no source of income, at least for a year.
The amount of trauma she's inflicting on Michael for no reason.
Literally.
Ostensibly a super good dude. Like major just shows gaslighter. Up out of nowhere. Like, Brian makes me calm a lot. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, more than I thought was possible.
I felt like you needed to know.
So it just seems like you're rubbing it in.
Remember
for
that
no reason.
Thing you asked us to do on our anniversary? I let Brian do it. And guess what? It was great.
And then it was great. Pushes downhill.
Oh! Yeah. And then he starts like macking me down the hill. It just becomes that scene. Oh
my God.
Paul Rudd shows up to Conan O'Brien for 20 years.
Yep. And so back in the present. Hurley just walks up to Michael. Dude, your kid's gone.
I could have stopped him, but
the writers don't know
didn't.
What to
do. And then
they don't
Michael,
know what to do with
Michael's
me.
Like, oh, I know where he went.
I know.
And it's then
fucking Locke.
Goes to Locke and Locke's like, I don't know where he's at.
What?
What?
I old yellered Walt earlier. I white fanged Walt. Go on, get. Get out of here. Go on, go.
Threw a rock at him.
Get out.
Yeah, Michael accosts Locke, and who doesn't know where Walt is. Boone's always ready to pounce, even though he always can't do shit.
He's got his sleeves cut off now.
It's wild, dude. And then Locke's so nice, right? Like, let's go find your boy. And Charlie.
Boone, you stay here. You'll be useless.
Exactly. Charlie, thanks, Kate. Just lube up that ass. I'll be right back.
We're going to open up that hatch.
That's all you're good for. So cute how you try to defend me. I'll, th- Thank you later.
Good boy. Good boy.
Yeah, right.
Good boy, Boone.
Charlie thanks Kate for all her help and talks about how he barely.
How did he help? How did she help him?
Just emotional support.
Well, I guess like
she's just there.
Like,
she's
thanks for trying to stand up to Sawyer, but I can take care of myself, even though I got my ass kicked. But I did get the diary. I barely knew. Wait, no, Claire. But you know, it feels like pieces of me are missing now that she's gone. Claire's been gone over a week. We find that out. And then there's this hilarious scene where he starts and stops reading her diary like 10 times.
I loved that.
That was
silly.
It's so cute. He feels bad, but he really wants to read it. And then he tries to hide it from himself. And we cut to Walk, who's walking through the goddamn jungle where all the monsters are with his dog.
With his dog.
He's looking for a Dunkin' Donuts, probably. Vincent starts barking and runs off the leash. Burp, burp,
burp. The Dunkin' is this way.
And Walt runs after him. Back in the past, it's Walt with Brian and Susan. And we get this dumbass scene where she's getting sick. And we find out that he has telepathic powers to kill birds because he's angry that Brian won't pay attention to him. Brian.
And he was looking at a bird book.
Yes.
He summoned the bird.
Which I didn't put this together at all. I was just annoyed that there was some kind of supernatural stuff in the past. Which only makes sense in the context, I feel like, of the island in this universe. Yeah. And now there's other things like Walt is Carrie.
Well, same.
Like Brian's like, they're all going to laugh at you. And it's just, what is going on right now?
Well, it was kind of the same way, not even the same way that I feel about Claire talking to that. What was the guy's name?
Brian.
No. the fortune teller.
Oh, yeah.
Because like there was some
That's true.
There is some like supernatural element there that was outside of the island. And so I kind of was just like, that's interesting.
There's something supernatural happening with children in this universe because there's something special about Claire's baby. And now there's something special about Walt. The baby. Like there is something going on with younger people in this episode or in this universe.
Interesting.
Steve. Yeah.
I'm not saying that Steve that will grow just, in anything.
It becomes Steve when he flexes his lost knowledge on us.
Yeah.
I'm just calling him how I sees him.
He's feeding us some coleslaw, he said here.
Coleslaw. Back in the present, Walt is still looking for Vincent, worst dog name ever. And Vinny. He's out pinching butts.
We find out that this dog is actually Brian's dog. So, of course, a lame duck like Brian would name a dog. You know,
Vincent.
I once had a best friend named Vincent.
I will name this dog after my butler. I don't know why you became a little bit of Sean Connery
I'm
there.
I'm a slut butler.
Slutler. Love it. Back That's what past. Boone is.
He's the slut butler.
He's the slutler.
Alfred. His butt's worth a penny. That's a Pennyworth joke for all you Batman fans.
Oh my gosh.
Back in the past, Brian shows up to Michael's house to tell him, he's got a little 5 o'clock shadow, to tell him Susan has died. She had a blood disorder.
She died yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this guy is immediately dumping the kid. Died and said, I've got to go to New York. That takes 12 hours.
Yeah. He left literally as soon as the woman died. He hopped on a plane.
She wasn't cold.
I got to get rid of this kid. He freaks me out. Brian's like, I never wanted to be a dad. I just liked Susan. And
well, so, he lies first. He says like, oh, Susan wanted you to have custody of him when she passed.
He calls bullshit on that.
Yeah. And he's like, I haven't been the kid's father in 9 years. You're the one that wanted to adopt him. And he's like, I don't like kids. They creep me out, especially your kid.
Yeah. And he tells him there's something wrong with him. Something different about this kid. I need you to take him.
It was here in my notes where I put men fucking suck.
Yeah. I mean, they do. Men and Susan suck.
Right.
Michael,
just those two people,
just those
types
two.
Of people.
Yeah.
We cut to him picking up Walt. And I hate this part of the episode so much. Like this whole plot line of the episode was just done so poorly. Like Susan sucks way harder than she should. Brian sucks way harder than he should. Like he's not even fucking there. It's the nanny. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, he didn't even prep Walt. Walt has no idea his dad's coming.
Yeah.
He's just left.
The nanny didn't prep
Which
him.
Is insane to me because Brian has been like a father figure to Walt for his entire life. Exactly.
Like this should have been written where Brian at the very least is like, look, I need you to go with your dad.
Yeah.
I can't focus on anything right now. I'm so distraught over your mother. This could have been played in a believable way. This could have been written like where he's just completely in shambles. like the nanny context.
Chris, Michael, Kent, did you not see the 5 o'clock shadow? The man is clearly in pain.
I should have been in the writer's room. The nanny reaches out to Michael and says, Brian hasn't gotten out of bed in weeks. I'm taking care of Walt. I think he should have his father. You know, like this could have been played in a believable way.
Another, right.
Instead of Brian just like, ew, get the thing that lives with me. And I'm, you know,
also here's a box of all the letters you ever sent your child that Susan never gave him.
For some reason, Susan didn't even want him to know you existed.
And for some reason, the nanny knows where that's at.
Oh yeah. Nanny was like, I'm keeping this.
It was in the will.
I think it's important. Mm-hmm. So we do find out that's what Michael found in the luggage. I think it's one of our mysteries most likely for later that has been solved. It's all the letters and postcards that Michael has sent. And we also find out, that Vincent is Brian's dog and that Michael's petty. And he's like, actually, you can take the dog. So that's kind of a funny backstory.
I don't think Brian will care.
I laughed so hard at that. Like, oh, Brian said you could keep him.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty good.
That was a good touch.
Wasn't there also like Michael kind of covers for Brian?
Michael's covering for Brian and for Susan in this episode hard.
I like it, but I think it's to defend Walt.
Yeah. It's to protect Walt from not knowing that Brian's a piece of shit
and that he's
giving
mom,
up on him.
Yeah.
And that his mom also lied to him.
Yeah.
He's protecting both of them. And I think he's also protecting Susan as well, because even though Susan did him wrong, you can tell he still has some sort of like relationship that he wants to have there.
Yeah. Well, also too, like she did just die.
Yeah.
And right. He wants to protect Walt's idea of his parents.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
And
it's
really endears you to the character of Michael.
Yeah.
Back in the present, we find out that Walt is beset by a polar bear. And he's in that same grove that Shannon and Boone and Fake hid in, because that was a hallucination.
And yeah, I think
it's like bamboo sticks.
Jack and Kate hid in one of those groves for the monster in like the first episode.
It's just the same
one. And that's
one.
Where Boone and
it's
Locke
the same one. There's only one of those on the island.
That's base.
Yeah.
It's where Boone and Locke base. Get down.
Base, I'm on base. You can't touch me.
Base.
You can't get me here.
Can't get me here.
Oh, no. He's hiding in our F shack from the polar bear.
That's our spot.
F shack. Walt's like, why is it so sticky?
Locke's like, I know how to get in there. What's going on.
There's a whole ass polar bear trying to claw and get at to Walt, but Locke and Michael
run up.
Climb up a tree. They shimmy over. They drop a knife down on
that's
at
some
him.
Whack shit right there.
Which part?
Just like... Locke giving Walt this big ass knife and then being like, here, Walt, giving Michael this big ass knife. And then Michael's like, here, Walt, and then drops the knife and it just lands.
What if we just heard like a, and then just Michael went, whoops.
Yeah. Like it just completely impales his head.
Locke, you saw that I slipped, right? And the knife, I didn't just drop it on him.
The polar bear stops.
Michael's like contemplating, like, you know, it would be a lot easier if I just...
More food to go around.
They get back to camp. They're like, what happened to Walt? And Michael's like, a polar bear stabbed him.
Right in the
Anything
head.
Anything on this island is believable. So he stabs the polar bear and he's like, polar bear, fall down. In rage. That's what he shouts. But no, it's really endearing though, because he keeps saying dad.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, what's his dad?
Oh, and then Michael could have been really petty. Like, oh, now I'm your father. One little polar bear.
He's
now
like,
I'm your father.
He's like withholding the knife. Like, say I love you. Say I love you first.
And then when he drops a knife, he goes, thank you.
Thank you.
Please and thank you. We got to work on that.
Walt, give him the Coca-Cola.
That's only once.
Back in the past, Walt doesn't know who Michael is. We already talked about this scene, but we skipped ahead a little bit. I was so mad. Brian's making Michael tell him too. And then back in the present, they're like walking on a branch. They drop the knife. They stab the bear a few times. Michael stabs it too. And they both get out. And then back at the camp, he gives Walt the box of all the cards and letters that he sent. And it's the penguin with the sunburn. There's a funny little moment where he's like, that's not funny. He's like, I know. I told her.
Like that nurse, her jokes are not good.
She's a terrible mother. She must be like Susan.
Then Walt puts it together that his mom has not been giving him these. Because he realizes that his dad has been riding him for the past 8 years.
Yeah. So it's not that he abandoned me completely. He had no choice.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Charlie reading Claire's diary. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
But in it, he sees something scary or interesting.
Charlie, I thought it was cute because he was reading it. And obviously, like, Claire was writing good things about him. And Charlie was, like, curling his hair.
He's like,
he was, like, so smitten by it. He was like, Oh, she thinks I'm cute.
I make him feel safe. I make her feel safe.
Yeah. Oh.
And then he goes to tell Jack and Saeed. He's like, you're reading her diary, man? Yeah. I know I'm a piece of shit, but look, there's a talk about the black rock doesn't from the dream.
Doesn't Saeed call him like a scoundrel or something? Like,
no, he says something.
He says, I know I'm
a scum or something.
Scum. Yeah. Scum.
Yeah.
Scum.
I knew it was like an older type. I almost said smut,
but I'm like, that's not right.
Yeah.
I knew it was like an older.
Yeah, you're right. I would have no interest in Claire's smutty diary.
Where's the good stuff? And then Saeed's interested because the French woman did mention the black rock.
Black rock. Yeah.
Ooh, what is a black rock?
The black rock is trying to get me. Maybe
I keep thinking of Crack Rock, the song by Frank Ocean. Crack Rock.
I always think of Crack Rocks. And then Boone and Locke are blowing the dog whistle at night looking for Vincent. And they accidentally summon Claire. She's like, row, row, row.
Guys, Vincent was Claire the whole time.
Oh my gosh.
What a mystery of the, another mystery of the island reveal.
Well, you know, I've never seen Vincent and Claire in the same frame.
That's true.
That's true.
She gave birth to a litter.
Yeah. Oh. And we know Charlie loves dogs.
And now we're going to train all of those dogs to hunt. Or I should say Locke will.
Dogs yeah. will hunt. Probably not a bunch of Primus and fans in attendance.
Claire looks like she went through some shit.
It looks like she's not pregnant, no more.
I would imagine an emergency C-section was what occurred. So we think that they took the baby and set her free? That we're thinking?
Maybe.
Probably. I mean, she's been in there. She's been gone a week. Yeah. I mean, she was due.
Long enough to recover from an emergency C-section, maybe?
Probably.
Probably not.
I think she gave birth
C-sections are wild.
I think she gave birth naturally, if I had to guess.
That's your headcanon.
And then they wanted to keep her around for a couple of days. They probably...
For recovery.
They probably milked her a little bit for the baby.
Wow. He went there.
They're milking me. Have you seen the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
movie?
Probably,
she probably pumped enough milk for the baby to like last with whoever the baby's with. Or the baby has died.
No.
They got wet nurses over there.
They could. They wouldn't have had enough milk.
They weaned
for sure.
The baby off of her after a couple of days.
Plus the first milk, like the initial milk is different for newborns. And then it evolves over time with the baby. So
and then it becomes... chocolate milk, strawberry milk.
Wow.
Yeah.
It does. It changes
then
flavors.
Then it turns into powder that you can just squeeze into regular milk for the flavor.
Yeah.
It's like formula.
Yeah. This milk could be our milk.
What about you, Sideburns? You want some milk? That's when he's pumping Claire. I'd rather have a beer.
I don't know why. This made
no
me,
milk
this
will
reminded
ever
me of
be our milk.
For a little bit, I was getting videos on my TikTok of men trying their pregnant woman's like
Milk? Yes.
What?
Yeah.
How did the algorithm sort
I
that into
no
your feed?
I have no fucking clue, but I it went away really quickly because I was doing like not interested. This is grossing me out. But it was like a couple of videos I saw of men trying breast milk and I just was like, y'all, interesting. I don't know how I feel about that. I guess if you do it, no shame, but
I feel like somebody who loves women would really respect a
have
man.
Have you?
I have.
Nice.
Have I tried breast milk?
Good for you.
Yes, I have.
Good for you.
Wouldn't you be curious?
I mean, I guess.
Also, not to be uncouth, but there's things that adults do where maybe breast milk would accidentally enter
the
mouth.
I guess that's valid.
And you don't want to be a ew kind of guy, do you?
What, like naked bread?
Experienced,
that's true.
I haven't experienced pregnant breast. I haven't experienced breast milk.
Pregnant breasts. Is that what you were about to say? I've never experienced pregnant breasts.
I've never experienced pregnant breasts. I don't know. It was just very interesting. It made me think of it. Now we can move on.
No, I think we should keep going.
Beach, please, with Steve.
It's time for Beach, Please. The segment
Speaking
of the
of
show
breast milk.
Where we transition away from breast milk and talk about some hidden gems or behind-the-scenes trivia about the episode we just watched. And surprise, we're doing this episode. I got a couple different Beach Please tidbits for you.
Tits and bits.
Tamara Taylor, who plays Susan, might be better known to some people as Dr. Camille Cam Surian from Bones. Or also she played the lawyer in Altered Carbon, which is a show I know you love.
I did love Ken. Altered Carbon.
Tamara Taylor is actually in a ton of TV shows, like usually as like smaller characters that kind of show up.
Yeah.
Usually she plays lawyers.
I was going to say that's been a consistent thing.
Yeah.
Bones, that's the one with Deschanel's sister, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think she's like the whatever.
The other sister.
The other sister. But I think she, whatever the I don't know what you call it, the program that the Bones people are working for. Tamara Taylor is like the leader of that Fox organization. Fox, yeah.
Fox Network.
I can't get over how good Madison looks in that lighting and she has no idea.
I can't see myself.
I wish I did.
You may not know this, guys, but in the scene when the polar bear was attacking Walt, the polar bear in the wide shots was CGI. I don't know if you knew
no
that.
No fucking way.
What?
But on the
I'm done with this show.
But the close-up shots of the polar bear was actually two dudes in a polar bear costume. And if you look up behind-the-scenes footage of this, it is hilarious.
I don't want to.
Because it's one dude who's wearing, like, a polar bear. Like, it looks like a giant hat where the polar bear's head is, like, coming out this way. And the head does have, like, some robotic elements to it.
Sure. Yeah.
And then he's just draped in white fur. And then there's a second dude who's standing. Their costumes are not connected. So it's like two people wearing different.
He's just got like the arms?
Yeah, the dude in front of him is just wearing the arms. And the dude in front of him is like, as the other guy's kind of like poking his head into the shot as the polar bear head. It is. And then you see Walt like, get away, polar bear.
Stab.
Yeah. I highly recommend you look up shots.
Okay.
Okay.
In fact, I think it's called, it was part of a DVD bonus feature for season one. I think they were called like Lost on Location: the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode's On Location was all about the polar bear
special.
And it's a very funny bit because most of it is just a dude. I can't remember who it was. I think it was the director of the episode. But he's just standing there in his t-shirt and he's just talking like he's hyping up the CGI polar bear. Like, oh, we can do so many things now on TV. We're going to have this blue plate. And we're going to put a polar bear in there. And then we're going to do the shot with Locke and Michael on the tree. And we're going to put a blue plate underneath him and put a CGI polar bear. And he's just like going on and on and on about the CGI polar bear that's maybe in a shot. It's fucking wonderful.
I just want to know what happened after the polar bear got stabbed. Did it go away or did it die?
Sad. It was like, wow.
I'm going back to base.
No, it's Coca-Cola. Like,
I don't want to play
Why
no more.
Why do you guys play like that?
I'm telling mom.
It's Ethan.
I'm going to get my dad. He can beat up your dad.
Mm-hmm.
There you come.
It's the French woman.
The dinosaur.
It's Rousseau.
It's the French woman.
That was her baby. That,
like,
was Alex.
Baby.
That was Alex.
The baby.
The polar bear.
At minute 27, second 25 of the episode, this is the scene where Susan and Brian are talking about something, and then the bird comes in.
Oh, yes.
But shortly before the
worst part of the episode.
Before the bird comes into play, if you look in the background of one of the shots, there's a woman who just appears, like she's not in the background. It cuts away, cuts back to that shot, and then she's just sitting in a chair in the background on the right-hand side of the screen, just kind of like watching them. It's really creepy. And then she disappears again. What I think happened, because she's kind of far away enough that I can't quite be sure of this, but I think she's the nanny.
Ah.
And I think
waiting
maybe
to be called upon.
Yeah, I think maybe this is just the actress. Maybe there was a little bit more to that scene where the nanny did something.
Yeah, it was edited
and,
weird.
And then she walked away.
I like to think it's just a woman that's inside the house.
Yeah, it's just, she kind of honestly looks like a ghost because she's wearing a white shirt.
It's creepy.
And the way, and she's so far enough away and out of focus, she almost looks translucent. It's pretty creepy.
Maybe she's a crew member that just made her way.
Yeah, I thought that too. But as I was looking at it and I was trying to think of like, why would someone be sitting there? It does kind of look like it could be the nanny.
Mm.
So I don't know. The jury's out on who it is, but it's definitely,
she was on break.
It's definitely a blooper. No matter
she packed no matter lunch what. That day.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm just gonna sit here. You tell me when it's my scene. Dum dum dum. And that thus concludes this episode's edition of Beach Please.
Beach Please.
That means it's time for our Mile High Club moments, our top three favorite moments of the episode. Madison, hit us with your number three favorite moment of the episode.
I feel like mine are all kind of silly. Not all. Two of the three of them are kind of silly. But my third favorite is when Boone attacked Michael for Locke. And my Master and Servant song from Depeche Mode popped in my head. That's my number three.
I need to check this song out.
You need to watch their documentary. Shameless plug right here, right now. Depeche Mode 101 on Apple TV.
Depeche Mode 101 on Apple TV. I'll check it out.
Do it.
Steve, your number three favorite moment.
My number three favorite moment is when Michael meets Walt in Australia to pick him up for the first time. Mm-hmm. Specifically the moment where he's like, oh, you can bring Vincent. Brian said you could bring him. It just, after everything that guy's gone through, not only is he finally connected with his son, and there's a lot of like, oh, this is such an awkward situation. It shouldn't be this awkward. In fact, you know, like you said, Chris, they could have written around it in plenty of ways. But just that last little dig that he has of like, oh, we're going to steal this guy's dog. I don't know. It's petty, like, enough to be like, okay, I'm in.
It's funny.
I'm in. What about you?
My number three is the polar bear attack, specifically.
Stab.
The emotional beat that did work with mm-hmm. Walt calling him dad and just being in great need. And Michael's, without hesitation, you know, saving his son from a ferocious beast. And mm-hmm. I like, again, I'm a Locke stan. And I just like how down that guy is when needed. You know, let's go find your boy. I know you said you would kill me and you really shat on my pencil. And it was
it's really hard to come by one of those on
this
island.
It was a Telugunoga or whatever.
A Telugunoga? Everyone loves a Telugunoga.
There should just be a compilation of all of us trying to get the name of this pencil right.
Terranova.
I can't even remember what awesome the fuck show. I said. Taiwanda, I think is what it is. Is that what it is?
Yeah, something like that.
Taiwanda. I don't know.
Taiwandaranga. It was one of those. But yeah, I think it was a good moment. Good scene that worked a lot for me in an episode that mostly did not. Madison, you're number two.
My number two. Speaking of pencils. Again, this is my other silly moment, but when Charlie was contemplating reading Claire's diary, it was just very silly, very funny. And I think it adds a lot to like how he is as a character. Like just the silliness of like, I should read it. No, I shouldn't. Yes, I do. Yes, I don't.
yes, I don't.
yes, I don't.
that describes the scene perfectly.
But it was just a funny scene and I liked it. It was memorable for me. Steve?
My number two is the scene where Michael and Walt bond over the bad joke where he gives Michael the box of letters that he never read his entire life. It's just a good scene where these two characters that, you know, I like Michael a lot. I think that's a character that I think doesn't get enough play. He doesn't get enough to do.
None of your business, but go on.
Mike, listen, I'm just saying Michael can get it.
So you're waiting for the son action too.
Okay. Michael can get it. No, I just really like that character. And just, I think the episode really does a good job of endearing you to him and finally seeing father and son come together and bond after so long over something was like very nice. Like, oh, thank God. We're finally here at the moment where they realize that they've got each other's backs. They're a little family now. Mm-hmm. And it was just very heartwarming. And the last little bit of like the penguin joke not landing and Walt thinking it's also dumb is like, ah, that's father and son. They both have the same sense of humor. Look at that. Adorable.
Yeah. It's very sweet.
My number two is when Michael, along that same line, gets hit with the car.
Along the same line.
Same line.
No.
I was just like, oh, fuck. You know, like it was just a crazy moment. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
In a not enjoyed kind of way. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, damn, that was effective. Especially where I was at emotionally at that moment, too. So very, very well done.
Similarly to the very heartfelt moment between the two of them. Him getting hit by a car.
It was like Kevin Hart. Damn. Madison.
Was this car strike more effective than Brad Pitt getting hit by a car in what movie is that?
Oh, like, that's a spoiler. Joe Black?
Yeah.
Meet Joe Black?
No.
Sorry to spoil this movie that's like 20-something years old.
Yeah, people are
and
born
also
every
3
day.
3 hours long, right? That movie's hella long.
It's hella long. Hella it is. Long. Yeah, that was a seminal moment for me as a kid. I remember watching that like shot. I had the double disc VHS, you know, the double tape.
I thought you were saying the double hit.
Yeah, just taking a two-hitter.
Two-hitter.
the car hit moment. Madison, your favorite moment of episode 14.
My favorite moment, I think, is Steve's number three, which is where Walt when Walt sees Michael meets Walt for the first time and he has to like talk to him like, hey, this is, you're coming home with me. I don't know. It was just, I liked getting to see, there was a lot of layers to that conversation, especially Michael having to like hide the fact that like his mom is a piece of shit and so is Brian. And I think it just shows a lot about who he is as a character, as a person, to be like, you know what, I'm going to rise above what these awful people have done to protect my son. And so I just thought it showed a lot about who Michael was as a character.
I agree.
Steve.
That's a great scene.
Number one.
My number one scene is, I think it was your number two. Locke and Michael saving Walt from the polar bear. We get to see the polar bear again, which is always fun, even though it looks silly.
Every time.
I like silly shit like that. And also it brings Michael, a character I really, really like. Locke, a character I very, very much like. I stand Locke. And they're working together to save Walt, and Walt's crying out for his dad. And
Daddy.
There's this really sweet moment where like he wraps the vine around Walt. And he's like, "What about you, Dad?" And he's like, "I'll be right behind you." Like, mm-hmm. It's just for a moment, you're like, "Oh no, is something going to happen to Michael?" I was, even though I've seen this before, I always kind of think like, "Oh, is the polar bear going to get him? Is he going to get hurt?"
Go full Revenant.
throw him around for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a very touching moment.
Polar bear, throw me down.
No, polar bear, put Dad down. And yeah, I just, anytime Locke, you know, is the most reasonable person in the room and like brings people together, and Michael is just, I don't know. I like that climax of people coming together to save somebody with an interesting, who is in an interesting type of peril, a polar bear attack on a jungle. Like that's fun. That's lost shit. I love it.
Polar peril.
Polar peril. I like that.
My favorite moment is Madison's number two. I think she was a little bashful about it, but Charlie with the diary. I think it was good. Excellently done.
Good.
A lesser writer would have only had him, grab for the diary and put it down two or three times. But no, he did that about six or seven. They really
leaned into it.
Leaned into that bit.
I think that's a director or editor scene, not a writer thing.
Sure. That's fair. They might have just written, torn about reading the diary, and the director just went into it. But and Dominic Monaghan's the perfect actor for something like that.
I agree.
I loved it so much. I thought it was very endearing because it is like, it's very taboo, right? But also I think we all get it at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
In like a curiosity kind of way. It's just like, you can't help it.
It eats at you. Eats away at you.
No. But.
She's dead anyway.
We're like, even Sawyer didn't actually read it, you know?
Yeah.
But Charlie, I love it. I think it's great. And it was my favorite moment. I loved it so much.
It was good.
But now it's time for our passenger princess, our favorite performance of the episode. Princess. Madison.
I wonder if all three of us are going to choose this.
This has got to be a we all everybody, right?
I think so. I mean,
we're going for Brian.
I don't know. I don't know. I was going to give it to Madison the dog for being Claire this entire time.
Yeah. Or honestly, Susan Vincent made me hate her so much.
Remember the dog named Vincent is played by a dog named Madison.
Oh,
remember
that? Vincent, yeah.
And her other name is Vinny.
Whoa.
Another mystery of the island revealed.
I almost gave it to Susan because she made me hate her so much.
Yeah.
But
we got to give it to Harold Perrineau, right?
Obviously, yes. He did such a good job.
I agree.
We
all everybody.
We all everybody.
It's an easy sell this time.
Why'd you give it to him? Give him the flowers. Give him the flowers.
And I give the award to Harold.
It's just an honor to be nominated.
I he was so captivating when he was on screen. I was like, you know, he's feeding into all of these emotions, you know, having to deal with Susan, especially, and like be gaslit this entire time by this woman who clearly sucks. And then having to also counteract that with, you know, him in the present dealing with Walt, like he had a lot to emit on screen. And I think he did such a great job.
I'm with you every step of the way.
Amazing.
One minor thing. I think this is the most convincing, I think, a movie or TV show in a long time has done like a flashback with an actor and just by making them clean shaven and putting a silly hat on them. I'm like, wow, that guy really does look 10 years younger. Yeah. It was very effective.
Yeah. Just shaving that like a little goatee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very, even acted was a lot more like fun and like, I'm a younger version of this character.
Yeah. The weight of the world hadn't brought him down yet.
Right.
You know,
construction working and all that
this
shit.
Pre 9/11.
Yeah. Pre 9/11, Michael. That was all Madison. That's how all of us were.
We were filled with joy.
Yeah, I believe it.
I was 12.
My 3-year-old self was also filled with so much joy.
Yeah.
And then afterwards,
you were laughing at penguins and sunburn.
Yeah, no more.
We all got jaded.
Yeah. Can we all talk about, I forgot to mention it, the scene where Charlie tells them that he's reading the diary with Saeed, Jack, and Charlie. They did that. I wonder how you guys felt about the cinematography where they were rotating the camera around the three of them. And even when it did a close-up one shot, they just kept it panning to keep the effect going. And I was like, oh, I'm digging this. And I was like, I actually hate this. And then I was digging it again. I don't know what you guys thought about
because
that.
Because to me, that reminded me of, like, I don't know why this came in my head, but like, in Power Rangers, when they're like getting ready to like go out to battle, or like they're game planning.
They're doing the Megazord?
Yeah. I bring up Power Rangers a lot.
Are you a big fan?
I mean,
Turbo Time.
How do you feel about Kimberly? Oh, okay.
they're all kind of hot. Anyway, but that's kind of what everyone.
Especially the blue one. Billy, are you kidding me?
Come the on. Glasses, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're all like hot in their own way. Anyway.
Yeah.
But like, that's kind of what it reminded me of. Or just like this like really cliche, like we're going into battle and we're game planning and we're like brainstorming together. That's what that. And to me, it was a very dramatic thing to do for a very non-dramatic.
Well, I think it was supposed to
part of dialogue.
Indicate like, oh, the world is being upturned in this moment when, you know,
dots are being connected.
But it was still a little much. I agree.
But it was like none of them, I feel like, were really reacting in the way that
warranted that. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it would have been.
They should have cut to that guy from the meme going, whoa.
Yeah. Or they just were like the epitomes that they should have been. Right.
Yeah.
The epitomes that they should have been having weren't happening.
Epiphanies.
Thank you.
There you go.
I'm only 25. My language, my vocabulary is not very great.
No, we've all been there.
But yeah.
People judge us, but
it was a good
when you get the cameras and the mics in your face, words can come out.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the end. We just have Lost and Found left. And there are, I think, two mysteries to add.
What two you got?
Walt's superpowers.
Yeah.
We need to find the origin or nature of those.
What is Walt's superpowers?
And then the baby.
What happened to Claire? Where's the baby?
Right?
Where's the baby?
Anything else that you think needs to be revealed?
I think we can take off what was in the box.
That's true.
In the box.
We know the answer to
the
short-lived mystery.
Yeah, what was in Michael's box?
I don't get it.
That whole exchange that you had last episode where you're like, oh, I don't give a shit about what's in Michael's luggage.
Yeah.
And now we know.
Yeah.
Now we know.
Thank God it wasn't a overplayed mystery.
Yeah.
Nobody cared.
It would come back in season six.
Yeah.
Like, guys, you remember how I was so obsessed with finding my luggage that one time?
Yeah.
And Hurley found it. Thank God you did. It's a gun. Now we can protect ourselves.
Every time it's revealed that something is, it's always a gun.
Yeah. I found a lockbox. There's guns in it.
But
where's Rose's husband? It's a gun.
Ah. What did Claire give birth to?
It's a gun.
A gun.
The polar bear is actually
47.
Two guns in a suit.
One controls the arms. One controls the head.
So triggering.
Oh,
get it?
I get it. But that brings us to the end of our coverage of episode 14. Tune in next week for episode 15 because we go chronologically through the season.
We go chronologically on this show.
I don't want to brag.
Never out of order here.
Later in the week, you're going to hear our coverage of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Crusada. Get ready for a lot of Sean Connery impressions.
Sean Connery.
My chicks are back.
Thank you for tuning in. That's all the time we have for right now. We've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Kit.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.